Shabbat shalom.
And you said I had an hour, right, Sam? Yeah. I jest. Today's parsha is Parsha Emor. Okay, Leviticus 21:1 through 24:23. And Emor means speak. And the Torah begins with the special laws pertaining to the Kohanim, or the priests. And they were really specific and long and drawn out and very detailed about holiness and cleanliness and defilement and that sort of thing. And really, really detailed. A little boring, but, you know, pretty detailed. It also lists the annual festivals. Okay, the festivals, they're not just Jewish holidays, okay? The Lord said they're my, notice, my appointed, or Moedim, appointed festivals. And his festivals are for everyone, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Some of you might be old enough to remember, or you listen to old-time radio, the birds had a hit. Turn, turn, turn. Number one hit for weeks. People didn't know it, but they were being preached the message of God. God's word was being proclaimed out on the radio waves, and half the people didn't even know it. But that's true for every purpose under heaven. Okay, the festivals, okay, and some people call them feasts. Now, it's kind of humorous if you think about people they call, you know, they call them a feast. What about Yom Kippur? I mean, you can't eat. What kind of feast is that? You know? You know, to me, a feast is, yeah, eat, you know, eat. Cheesecake, you know, all this great stuff, you know? So, now, festivals. Festivals is a more appropriate term. Okay, the festivals are broken up into basically two sections. Spring, we have Passover, First Fruits, and Shavuot. And those have already been fulfilled. The fall festivals are Rosh Hashanah, or Trumpets, Yom Kippur, or Atonement, and Sukkot, or Tabernacles. And they will be completely fulfilled when Yeshua returns at the sound of the trumpet, or the shofar, when he comes to rule on the earth. Now, some of the proof of this is that all nations will be commanded to observe Sukkot. And if they don't, there's consequences. There's not going to be any rain. Okay, this is prophesied in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. It says, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem, remember there's a prophecy saying that all the nations are going to surround Jerusalem and the Lord's going to intervene and, you know, it's history, everything's over. Okay, so that all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the festival of tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. So that's proof right there that it's going to be enforced. Yeshua is going to rule with a rod of iron. You know, there's going to be laws and rules then, and you better measure up or you know, pay the consequences. Also mentioned is the counting of the Omer, okay, which is what we're now doing. It begins on the day after the weekly Sabbath following Passover. Some teach it's always the very next day after Passover, but if that was the case, there'd be no need to count, since Passover is always on the same date of the month, and then 49 days would just be the same date of that month. Okay, so, but that's why we have to count. And right now, in case you're wondering, we are on day 28, which began at sundown last night. Okay? So, going on, the Torah discusses the lighting of the menorah. Okay, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to make the lamps, the menorah, burn continually. Outside of the veil of the testimony, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was, in the tabernacle of meeting, and later on the temple, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord, continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps of the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. The light can never go out. The menorah was in front of the veil, which is where, like I said, where the Ark of the Covenant was, in God's presence abode. Okay, it lights the way to the Father, to the Almighty. It's interesting when you think that Yeshua said in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So to get to the Father, you got to go through Yeshua. The showbread is also mentioned. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row. Okay, so we have 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, 12 loaves, you know, 6 and 6. Okay. That it may be on the bread, and then you'll sprinkle frankincense on the bread as a memorial offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it before the Lord continually. Okay, so every Sabbath, 12 loaves of bread were placed on the table. Bread is the staff of life, and it's a metaphor for all forms of nourishment. Thus, the table symbolizes all our material needs. It's interesting to if you remember that frankincense was one of the things that the wise men brought to Yeshua, you know, as one of the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is frankincense? Well, frankincense is a resin from a tree. It was made by cutting the bark of the trees and letting the resin harden, then ground into a powder. Though it tasted bitter, it was known for how freely or completely it burned, leaving nothing behind. This is symbolic of a life of holiness and righteousness, which Yeshua was. And then being sold out to the Lord, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. The gift of frankincense was given to Yeshua, and Yeshua willingly and freely gave himself up as a burnt offering. So just as frankincense is gathered in by the cutting of the bark on the tree, Yeshua was broken on a tree or the cross that we might share in his gift. So we can see the correlation between Yeshua with the menorah and the bread. Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Yeshua, he's our sustenance and our nourishment, as well as our light. In the closing section of this part of the parsha, we see a man blatantly breaks the third commandment. He gets some kind of argument, loses his temper and all control of his emotions, and he blasphemes the Lord. Anyone, including strangers that do this, are also condemned to death. And finally, we also see the institution of the death penalty. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If you caused the death of an animal, you had to restore it. If you killed somebody, you got killed. It applied to everybody, Israelites and strangers, anyone. Breaking God's law was and is no small matter. We just read of a man stoned to death for breaking the third commandment by using God's name in vain. There's another situation of a man who was stoned to death for breaking the Sabbath. Okay, the Sabbath was the Sabbath, is the Sabbath, and always is going to be the Sabbath. Okay, and you're not supposed to break the Sabbath. We also saw adulterers were executed, and definitely capital punishment, as we said. And even there was a law that said if rebellious children refused to honor their parents and their authority, they could be killed too. So if Malachi, you know, messed up, Sam could say, take him out and stone him, you know. It probably didn't happen, you know, but it was a rule that it could. So seeing all this, okay, we know that this is bad news and good news. Romans 6:23, the bad news. But the wages of sin is death. We see throughout the whole Torah, especially in this section, where there are consequences to pay. there was the death penalty for lots and lots of stuff. So the wages of sin is death. But what's the good news? The good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But all the work is done for us. It's a gift, like a happy birthday gift. What did a kid do to get his birthday gift? Did he do anything to earn it? No, it was a gift. What did he do? Well, he was born, right? Well, your gift of God, your eternal life is a gift when you're born again. Yeshua said, marvel not that I say you must be born again. He says, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but has eternal life. There's nothing, not one single solitary thing that you can do. It's totally paid for. Other religions say you have to earn it. You got to do something. No, not us. It's totally, completely, absolutely, positively paid for. Stake your life on it. Stake your eternal life on it. If you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, trusted in him to pay for everything, I encourage you to do it right now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off a second. You're not guaranteed you're going to get home tonight. You're not guaranteed you're going to get down the street and something not happen. If you do not know completely, totally, assuredly that you are ready right now where you sit and put your trust in Yeshua, nobody else, nothing, absolutely nothing, positively nothing you can do, trust Yeshua and Yeshua alone. Shabbat Shalom.